You get a little exercise, amen, keep the blood flowing. Unless you're me, you're standing all the time, amen. Psalm chapter number 84, blessed Psalm. I'm glad you're here tonight. I trust this message will help you. Sometimes, pastors, we have unique jobs from the pulpit. Some messages are what I call shearers. It's time to shear the sheep, amen. By the way, you never skin the sheep. Because if you skin them, you got to make lamb chops, amen. You can only skin a sheep once, but you can shear them. And there are times for that. But there are also times when sheep need comfort, when they need water, when they need food. And I believe this will be one of those messages tonight, if you'll allow it to help you. Psalm chapter 84, as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 12? Psalm chapter number 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart in my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, bless now the reading of your perfect word. May it get down deep into our hearts tonight as we deal with this subject, the well in the dry valley of Baca. Lord, pray that you'd speak to somebody tonight, encourage somebody tonight, lift up somebody that's down and a little defeated tonight. Lord, through your word, through your Holy Spirit, do the divine office work that we cannot do. If there's one here tonight that knows not Christ as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. We love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Psalm chapter number 84 is a tremendous portion of Scripture. Many of you, as soon as we started reading it, you remembered the familiar refrains, "How amiable are thy tabernacles," amen. Church historians tell us it was written by either David during one of his many flights, this one from Absalom, or by pilgrims in northern Israel during the Assyrian captivity when they came and took Israel captive, and they were longing for Jerusalem, wanting to be back at the house of God. By the way, can I say tonight, without embarrassment, it's good to see Brother Harmon here today. I know, Brother Harmon, when you were home ill, you were longing to be at the house of God. And this psalm has that. It starts out with dwelling in the sanctuary in the first four verses. And we'll not take the time to really develop. There's a good outline here in this psalm. You notice the love in verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You notice the longing in verse 2. My soul longeth. You notice the looks in verse 3, how he looks at the sparrow and the swallow. And you notice life in verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Continually, amen. Eternal life. So you see there the dwelling in the sanctuary. In verses 5 through 8, we notice the drawing on the strength. And that's where we'll focus most of our attention. But then at the end of the chapter, not only do you have dwelling and drawing, but you have delighting in the service of the Lord. And what a blessing it is to serve the God of heaven. One of our ladies today pulled me aside. She said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." And I got a little nervous, amen. "Well, I need to talk to you, Pastor," but it wasn't that kind. It was, "I want to do more for the Lord," is what she was saying. She said, I want to be stretched for God. Isn't it a blessing that God uses sinful men and women? Amen. It's a blessing to me, I know. Look at verse number 6, if you would. The focus of our message is in verse number 6. "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." Geographically, the valley of Baca, its location is known only to God. By the way, as Brother Hamlin well said, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Amen. And as I was studying for this message, I read through the Bible and I read this passage, and I do have several commentaries on the book of Psalms. And I went to those, and without fail, Brother Heath, every one of them said, only God knows where the valley of Baca is. It's just not geographically known. Historically, it was a valley in Palestine on the way to Jerusalem, known for its dry and desolate climate. Etymologically, that's a big word, amen. It's a study of root words. The word Baca means weeping or tears. And symbolically, it represents the deep, foreboding valleys that many times we're called to go through in life. By the way, I'm from New England. As we were driving out to New England, we saw the beautiful mountains. And we're at the end of the Appalachian Trail there. And just gorgeous, the Berkshire Mountains. But you know, for every mountaintop, there's a valley. Everyone. Every time you see a mountain, mark it down. Eventually, when you get to the top of that mountain, you'll have to head down and go through the valley. And by the way, aren't you glad for those great mountaintop experiences of life? I tell you, I was sharing with the men, one of the greatest experiences of my ministry was last Saturday as I stood in front of a congregation, half saved, half lost, and told them about these two young people that grew up in our youth group, that we've known them since they didn't have teeth. Brother Jenkins, amen. And we told a funny story or two and then got to give the gospel to all those people and see these two that we had invested time in come together and married. What a blessing. It's a mountaintop. A mountaintop experience. I was telling the story of when my children were born. I heard Brother Turner talking about that today, and we were just sharing stories over lunch. And what a mountaintop to be there for the miracle birth of a baby. That's a mountaintop, amen. Some of you remember the day you got saved. That's a mountaintop. We're getting ready to celebrate some graduations here, amen. Those are mountaintop experiences. But you know, there's valleys too, aren't there? For every one of those mountaintops, there's a valley. You know, as a preacher, I don't like going to the cemetery. Amen? I don't like doing a funeral. That's a valley. I want you to notice, if we could, some valleys by way of introduction tonight in the Scriptures that different characters or groups were called to go through. I want you to notice, number one, the valley of danger by way of introduction. When I think of danger, I think of David. David went through the valley of danger. By the way, David went through several valleys of danger as a shepherd. Remember when he came to the valley of Elah, where that 9'6" giant was cursing the people of God and challenging anyone to come and basically knock his block off. And David came, and if I could give you the RAZ version, he looked out, he heard Goliath, he looked at everybody and said, "Who's this clown? Doesn't anybody know we serve God?" And he came to Saul and he said, "Hey, somebody needs to go take care of that big mouth, and I'm the man to do it." And Saul said, "No, you're a youth and he's a man of war." He said, "Listen, I'm a shepherd. A lion one time came," and read it in 1 Samuel 17. He said, "A lion came and he grabbed one of my sheep and he said, I killed him." Valley of danger. The valley of danger. David went through it a lot. How about against Goliath? I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have the idea of literally coming up to a 9'6" person and saying, "Okay, I'm going to beat you up now. So come down here so I can do it." Listen, that had to be dangerous. But here he reared back. We know he had the power of God. And I understand all that. But that was dangerous. You think about when he was in Saul's courts and Saul was jealous of him and twice tried to kill him with a javelin. Danger. Valley of danger. And of course, fleeing from Absalom. Valleys of danger. You know who, when I think about the valley of danger, I think in America, we, praise the Lord, we don't have to cross that valley very often. But you know who does? Our missionaries. Our missionaries. We have, listen, one of the greatest missionaries you'll ever meet is Brother Bob Hayton. Brother Bob Hayton, Zambia. Tremendous missionary. Godly man. Listen, I remember hearing Brother Hayton's testimony of sleeping in a tree because they were pursued by lions. Literally, these she-lions came to the tree where they were and just circled for a couple hours. And they knew if they didn't tie themselves in, that they would have fallen and been prey to that. The valley of danger. The valley of danger. How about another valley? How about the valley of despair? The valley of despair. Elijah. What a preacher. I love Elijah. Elijah is a great character study. Elijah comes on the scene from Kish. And again, nobody knows where that place is either. He just comes on the scene, walks right up to the king and says, "Listen, buddy." Again, this is the RAZ paraphrase. Amen. "Listen, buddy. It's not going to rain until I say." And he walks off, and for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Tell you what, I imagine Ahab was thinking, who are you? But then you have that great chapter in 1 Kings 18, the duel on Mount Carmel. Here's Elijah, and you got 450 prophets of the grove, and you got 400 prophets of Baal, all false prophets, by the way. And the people are just trying to decide who's God, and Elijah says, "Hey, how long halt you between two opinions? If Baal be God, great. If God be God, great. But make a decision." And he says, "Let's see which God can answer by fire." And sure enough, they tried everything. They cut themselves. They screamed. They ran. And boy, I tell you, I don't know if I'd have done it, but Elijah's a better man than me. Started mocking him. "Hey, where's your God? Maybe he's on a journey. Oh, wait, he could be sleeping. Maybe he's out to lunch. Where's he at?" He said, "He's not anywhere because he's not." Amen? And he said, "Now watch what God can do." He said, "Get the water." And I imagine those servants, Brother Bolt, said, "Excuse me? Get the water? It's a drought. It hasn't rained since you last spoke." They said, "Get some water. Fill up the trench. Do it again. Do it again." And he prayed that 38-word prayer, and God, the Bible says, the fire licked up the water. And he said, "Let's go." Off with them. Killed all those false prophets. You say, "Man, what an experience. What a prophet. What a mountaintop." Did you ever read chapter 19? The Bible says in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, it's an unbelievable statement. When you think of this mountaintop, verse 4 says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came down and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die." He said, "Lord, kill me. I'm not better than my fathers. Kill me." Huge mountaintop. Now in the valley of despair. You know what I have realized? That a lot of times depression, and depression is real, ladies and gentlemen, people get depressed. A lot of times for Christians, and listen to me now, it's because of disobedience. You're depressed because you're not obeying God. You're not doing what you know is right. And God is not going to allow you happiness if you're consistently disobeying His Word and all God's people said. But there are also instances where God's choicest servants walk through the valley of despair. I remember, and I've mentioned several times, it's just an experience that's so ingrained in me, when our pastor's son in Massachusetts was killed. And this man of God, by the way, his church running 550, 600 today in California, man of God, came to me, my pastor, and God allowed me to pastor my pastor, Brother Becker, very rare experience. But he came to me and he said, "You know, I read my Bible every day. I know I'm supposed to. I pray. I read my Bible every day." This is just after his son was killed. And he said, "I get nothing." You say, what happened? I say, he walked through the valley of despair. Despair. Oh, God raised him out of that valley, and we'll talk about it. But listen to me, it's real. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, listen to what he said about depression. He said this, he said, most of us are in some way or another unsound. He suffered terribly with a joint disorder and was diagnosed with gout. He said this, I have been very low, he wrote to his congregation during one long bout. My flesh has been tortured. My spirit has been prostrate with depression. I've known preachers. Listen, the impetus of this message, what really sprung this message on was my preacher friend who committed suicide. Ryan knows him. Heather knows him. I mean, a good man. Love God. Love people. Walk through the valley of despair. It's a real valley, folks. How about the valley of discouragement? The valley of discouragement. When I think of the valley of discouragement, I think of Judah in the Babylonian captivity, described in Jeremiah. You think literally, imagine this. We can't imagine this in America, but literally having an invading army come to our shores, take the choicest people, kill the weak, kill the elderly, kill the young, taking the choices of the people and bringing you as slaves to another land. I don't know about you, Brother Miller, but that would be discouraging. That would be discouraging. You know, discouragement is a real valley. It comes in various ways and forms, but as long as you have red blood in your veins, you will fight against the valley of discouragement. Numbers 21:4 says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Sometimes discouragement comes. There's a valley of danger with David, despair with Elijah, discouragement, the Babylonian captivity. How about the valley of darkness with Job? Have you ever just gotten to the point where you said, God, I have no idea what you're doing. I can't see any good in this. I have no idea. Job was there. If you don't think, Mrs. Job was there too. Amen? Imagine this. We've said it before, but imagine you came to Loomis Park Baptist Church for a funeral. And we had to remove pews to accommodate the caskets. Job, 10 caskets. 10. All 10 of his children. Livestock, money, health, everything. Lost it all. That's why he said in Job 19:8, he hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we see through a glass darkly. Sometimes we just don't understand. Job was there. How about the valley of doubt? You know, the valley of doubt, it's an interesting character who we think about when we think of the valley of doubt. It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist. You say, John the Baptist, the one it was said of that he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, Luke 1:15. The one who said of Jesus as he saw him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That one. John the Baptist. You mean doubt? The one who in Mark 6:18 said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her as your wife. I mean, a preacher. The one who Jesus said of, among those that are born of women, Luke 7:28, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But what do you mean doubt, Pastor? Well, at the end of John's life, he was in prison for what he said to Herod. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. He was imprisoned, and in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, it says this, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Can I say, young men, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. He knew it was him. And of course, Jesus, with a very kind answer, he said, you go back to John in prison and you tell him the blind receive their sight, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk. You tell him, he knows who I am. But what happened? He went through the valley of doubt. You mark it down. You go through discouragement or despair. you can begin to doubt. It's a real valley, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real valley. How about the valley of difficulty? Could we consider the Apostle Paul and just leave it at that? I read the story in the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. Let me just read. I'll just spot read. In stripes above measure, prisons more frequent, deaths oft. 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice beaten with rods, once stoned, thrice suffered shipwreck. And he goes on and on and on and on. Listen, I don't know how the health, wealth, and prosperity Christian crowd explains the Apostle Paul. I have no idea. The greatest Christian in my Bible, amen, the one that wrote 14 books of the New Testament, went through a life of difficulty. Isn't it amazing how some people, some of the best Christians, people that pray and read their Bible and try to witness, have difficulty after difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional. It's a real valley, ladies and gentlemen. And these Bible characters, they go through these valleys, the valley of danger and despair and discouragement, darkness, doubt, difficulty. But finally, the last valley that I can think of is the valley of death. And we know the Bible character that walked through that is Stephen. Amen? Stephen, that one who preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 7, and they loved him so much after he preached the Word of God to him, that they cast him out of the city and they stone him. And what he said, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lay not this sin at their charge." Can we say this? This is probably the most dreaded valley that any of us could ever walk through. It's the valley of death. Some of you have lost a spouse. Some of you have lost a friend. Some of you have lost a child. I tell you, I shudder to think what Mrs. Teske is going through, raising those 4 children with no husband. Valley of the shadow of death. But I want you to look at our text again. These valleys, and they're real valleys, ladies and gentlemen. But it says there, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. How is it possible in the dry, desolate valleys of danger and despair and discouragement and darkness and doubt and difficulty and death to make those valleys into wells? How is it possible? Let me give you 3 points and I'll be done. There's 3 reasons right in our text. First of all, the first way that we can make this valley a well, and I don't know, maybe you're in that valley tonight. Maybe you're in one of those valleys. Is the first way is, number one, the presence of God. The presence of God. Look at it. Verse 5 of chapter 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. You see, to have the strength of God, you've got to have the presence of God. And this is something I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's missing in modern fundamental Christianity, is desiring the presence of God. Not desiring how many emails you got or whether you did this or you got this on your schedule, but desiring to get alone with God. Oh, how we need that! We can't go through these valleys and make them into a well unless we have the presence of God. Let me give you a great verse. A great verse. Mark this. Matter of fact, let's go to this verse. Hold your place in Psalm 84. Go to Isaiah 43. If you mark your Bible, you ought to mark this verse. Isaiah chapter 43. And look at verse number 2. What a verse. It says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God." You see, how can we make this dry valley into a well? The presence of God. God's presence goes with us. My wife's favorite verses are Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Many of you know them. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The presence of God, ladies and gentlemen. Psalm 23, you know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for my namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, those dry valleys, ladies and gentlemen, it's the presence of God. It's the presence of God that can make them into a well. Do we remember in John chapter 7 where Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and He talked about how it would be rivers of living water flowing out of our belly? How is it that we can go through these times, these difficult times, these valleys, and make it a well? It's the presence of God. David Livingstone, tremendous missionary. By the way, if you learn about David Livingstone now, the historians will tell you he was an explorer. He was a missionary. He was exploring and used his medical prowess and knowledge to reach people for Jesus Christ. David Livingstone's life verse is Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. David Livingstone said how he got his life verse. He said, "It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor, and there is no end to it." He said that verse that God had impressed on his heart was the word of a gentleman. And you see, David Livingstone was conscious of the presence of God. See, it was conscious of the presence of God that helped him to be able to go on when he buried his wife. It was the consciousness of the presence of God that when a lion came and literally destroyed one of his arms, rendering it useless for the rest of his life, how was it that he could go through that valley? It was the consciousness of the presence of God. That God was with him no matter where he was, no matter what he did, God was with him. He said this. His last entry in his journal said, "He will keep His word. Leave me not, forsake me not," he cried at the beginning. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end," came the assuring response. "It is the word of a gentleman of the most strictest and sacred honor. There is no end to it." What was it? It was the presence of God. Psalm 31:20 says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." Going through a valley today? Pastor, I just don't know through how, if I can get through this valley. You can not only get through it, but you can make it a well. You can make it a well where that dry valley seems like water, just wonderful, cool, refreshing water. How? The presence of God, number one. They'll help you do that. Number two, not only the presence of God, but the provision of God. Look at verse number 7, please. It says they go from strength to strength. Who gives them their strength, ladies and gentlemen? God Almighty. You say, "Hey, I'm a self-made man." No such thing. That job you have, maybe you're an engineer. God gave you the mind. Amen? You say, I worked on a road crew. God gave you the strength to do that. You say, I do this or I do that. Whatever it is, God either gave you the intelligence, the strength, or both, amen, to do what you do. They go from strength to strength. Ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to report to you that our Father, who Brother Turner preached about this morning, in heaven still provides for His children. He provides. Deuteronomy 2:7, speaking of wandering Israel, disobedient Israel. What did God say about it? He said this in the middle of the verse, "These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing." And I submit to you that if God will take care of His disobedient children, He will more than provide for His obedient children. The provision of God. the provision of God. They go from strength to strength. You know who experienced that provision? Elijah. Again, back to Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, read it, verses 2 through 4. He came on the scene, told Ahab what he was going to do, and God said, look, I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you. I don't know about you, but I know this. I've seen ravens on the side of the road, Better Bittinger. They'll eat anything. They'll eat more than anything. I mean, I've seen some of the most disgusting things on the side of the road, and there they are. And just pecking away. And I think when God said, I've commanded the ravens, and the Bible says that the ravens came and brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. I think that was probably the greatest prime rib sandwich that Elijah ever ate in his life. And here's the raven with it in his mouth going, I can't believe I can't eat this stuff. I can't believe it. What am I doing? All the other ravens are laughing at me. I just imagine as he dropped that off. What is that? The miraculous provision of God. Could we consider the widow's oil, amen, that never ran out? Oh, how God provides. George Mueller knew the provision of God. George Mueller ran an orphanage in England in the 19th century. True story. Let me read it to you. One morning, the plates, cups, and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food and no money to buy food. The children were standing there waiting for the morning meal when Mr. Mueller said, children, you know we must be in time for school. Lifting his hand and bowing his head, he said, dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat this day. As he prayed, there was a knock on the door. The baker stood there and said, Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you did not have enough bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked you some fresh bread, and now I have brought it. Mueller thanked the man when there was another knock at the door. No sooner had this transpired than there was the milkman standing at the door. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and that he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon and repair it. Ladies and gentlemen, God provides. God provides. When you're going through that valley of discouragement, God will provide you some encouragement. When you're going through that valley of despair, God will provide. When you're going through doubt, God will provide. Could we ever forget the story of Abraham and Isaac? Walking up the mountain in Genesis chapter 22, when Isaac said, Father, I see the fire in the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? And by the way, he believed it. Read Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And as he raised that knife after he had tied up Isaac and raised that knife, God said to him, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. And he saw off in the thicket there was a ram caught. How God provides. Listen, what is it that can make these dry valleys wells? The presence of God, the provision of God. I love that song, God Will Provide. Some of you have heard it. Isaac walked up the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide. Beyond what we imagine, so much more than we can fathom, He will supply, God will provide, when we trust in Him completely and take each step believing as a child, God will provide. Dr. Malone's favorite verse was always Romans 8:32. It's the greatest verse on provision, I believe, in the New Testament. It says this, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if God didn't spare his only son, do you think he won't provide for you in that valley that you're going through? I think he will. I think he will provide for you. He'll help you. He'll not only make it so you can bear that valley, but He'll make it so that it'll even be a blessing. You'll see it from God. the presence of God, the provision of God, and lastly, and I like this one, Pastor John, the pilgrimage of God. Look at verse 6 again. You almost miss it. I almost missed it. It said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The key word in this verse is the word through. You know the song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, the valley of Baca was just on the way to the holy city. It was just a stopping place. See, can I say the reason why some of us are always in the valley of despair or always in the valley of doubt is because we have built our house in that valley, spiritually speaking. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to be passing through. We're supposed to be passing through. You know what? Here we are in this world, we're pilgrims. Where the Bible says, you know what, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The valley of Baca was just a stopping place. It was not their final destination. And it's not your final destination either, that valley of Baca. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 10. This will encourage you. Speaking about Abraham here. Oh, look at verse 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Why did they dwell in tents? Because they weren't living there. They weren't making it a permanent place. Now, I'm not against if you have a home, I have a home. Amen. That's not what it's talking about here. Look down at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, you listen to me. This life we're living, it's stopping ground. As we traveled across the country this week, we had to make some rest stops. Amen. We had to stop and change diapers and do all those things and stretch and all that. You know what this earth is? It's a rest stop on the way to heaven. It's a pilgrimage, ladies and gentlemen. Don't set your tent pegs down too deep. We're just passing through. See, the way that we can make that valley of Baca into a well is to just understand we're just on a pilgrimage. We're not home. Heaven is home. Amen? Heaven is home. We're on a pilgrimage. What is it? How is it possible that you could go through these valleys of danger and despair, discouragement, darkness, doubt, difficulty, even death, and make it into a well? Number one, the presence of God. Number two, the provision of God. And number three, the pilgrimage of God. We're just passing through. Don't live in the valley, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? Don't live in the valley. Say, I'm always in the valley of discouragement. Listen, ask God for His presence. Ask God for His provision. And ask Him to remind you, you're on a pilgrimage. You're just passing through. He'll encourage you. He'll help you to get out of that valley. And by the way, I'm for you. I'm in your corner, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. Don't feel like you can't come to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm having a tough time. That's what pastors are for. We'll help you with that. We'll encourage you. But oh, how the presence of God wants to do that. God wants to do that with His divine presence that lives in every one of us. called the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to do that by providing for our every need. If we pray and ask Him and see answers to prayer, how that would encourage us out of the valley. And to know heaven is our home. I live at 815 West Washington, but I desire a better country. I desire a better home. God's going to give it to me one day. So you know, when we go through difficulties, when we go through trials, the Bible talks about in Romans that our light affliction is but for a moment. And then to see Him face to face. And we'll not remember all those valleys. We'll be on the mountaintop forever with God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love You. Thank You that You provide for our every need. Thank You that Ye leadeth us. O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I be, is my God that leadeth me. Thank You for that, God. Pray that You'd bless us as we have our invitation with our heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play page 580. Well, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as they begin to play. Maybe you're here and you're going through a valley. Maybe it was even a valley that I didn't even mention. You're just having a tough time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, pray for me. I'm in a valley. Oh, my goodness. Hands all over the room. I'm in a valley. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put them down. You know what? God wants to be there for you in that valley. God so desires to make that valley a well. But you've got to let Him. You've got to let Him. You've got to allow His presence to comfort you and to help you. You've got to allow His provision to encourage you. And you've got to allow that pilgrimage to understand we're not here forever. Our life is just a vapor. Here and gone. Let God encourage you. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I tell you here, friend, God loves you. God wants to save your soul. God has prepared a home in heaven just for you if you'll receive Him. If you'll understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, turn from your sin to the Savior and ask Him by faith. He'll save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you're here in the valley. Don't stay there. Let God encourage you. We stand to our feet, page 580. We're going to sing Invitation. You raised your hand and said, Pastor, I'm in a valley. Come talk to your Heavenly Father. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, still His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth. Just the instruments, heads bowed, eyes closed, just the instruments on verse 2. To take a dry valley and make it a well is very unnatural. Very unnatural. As a matter of fact, it's supernatural. Only God can do it. Only God. How many times, Brother Horsch, have we known a Christian going through a difficult valley and they say, God is so good. God is so good. And you walk out of there feeling the power of God. You've been in the presence of God. Why? Because they allowed God to make that valley into a well. They said, God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust Your presence, Your provision. I'm going to enjoy Your pilgrimage. Let's sing verse 4 of 580. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold way I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand that leadeth me. All God's people said, make it a well. Amen. He makes the dry valleys into wells. Praise the Lord. Listen, have a great week. Amen. Be back Wednesday. We'll have prayer and Bible study back in Jude. Amen. And allow God, grab some tracks. We're almost out of tracks, by the way. I got some ordered. They're on route, but praise the Lord. Grab some tracks. Encourage someone. Men, invite someone to the Hog Roll. Senior saints, make sure you get signed up for the shopping spree. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing. Brother Jim Boston, sir, would you ask God's blessing? Amen. Lord loves you. I love you. Have a great week.